This is All Things Apostolic, and this is going to be, we're stepping off into a new area today, and it's a pretty important area. I think you're going to enjoy it, and it's going to be the first of many moving through this very, very broad discussion theologically. Thank you for being here. Stick around. Well, welcome to All Things Apostolic on February the 24th. Unbelievable that almost 2 months are gone out of 2025, but here we are. So welcome if you haven't been with us before. I'm glad you're with us today. I'm Dr. Nathaniel Wilson. I'm glad to be in this studio talking about some exciting things. I might just say, if you have friends that are interested in in-depth discussion of all things apostolic Pentecostalism, its present state or what its near future looks like, and the issues and challenges which it faces, then I would encourage you to call them and tell them to tune in. I won't get to all of this in one podcast. I mean, this is, when you get into theological subjects, it just gets broader and broader. In fact, the more I try to get to the particular subject that I want to talk about, the more stuff I feel like I need to say before I get there. So let me just tell you what I set out to do today, but I'm not going to get completed. All right. My first intent was to do a podcast answering the question, is it okay for apostolics to listen to secular music? Now, this question's not original with me. It came from a podcast that was sent to me. It was a podcast with Brother David Bernard. Brother Bernard is the general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. He and I have had a long and positive relationship. Anyway, Brother Bernard was asked this question on a recent podcast. And before I even listened to his answer, one of the first things that I thought was, that question should not expect a full answer in such a short amount of time as a single 20-minute or 25, whatever minute, for a podcast. And secondly, I was almost immediately aware that this was an extremely important question, not because it was about music, but because it embodied in this question many larger questions. And so we're going to talk about it today. First, let me tell you, I'm excited about what's happening in our world. There is revival, which is a big deal to me. And we had, by my count, there may have been more, 10 people who received the baptism of the Holy Ghost yesterday in services in the Rock Church right here at home. And we feel good about that. We believe that God is doing a great work in the world. It hardly ever hits the headlines. There have been rare occasions when it has, but it hardly ever hits the headlines because it's not about things. Well, today a good word to use is secular, and we live in a secular world. So this outpouring of the Holy Ghost, though, is a great thing, and it ought to be going on in every church. And the moment I say that, there'll be pushback from people who are not Pentecostal and will say, no, that's not even for us today. But it is. It is for us today. So anyway, we're just happy for good results. Also, we're excited. Next week is No Limits, the conference. It's right here. It's in Sacramento. It's March 5th. Through 7, starts on Wednesday night at 7:30 every night, and it's 11 a.m. It starts on Thursday morning and Friday morning. So three nights, 2 days. It's a great conference. I encourage you to come. I believe you'll be blessed. And people leave every year that are blessed and lives are changed. It's real stuff. It's not a bunch of psychobabble. And if you can make it, if you weren't planning on coming, change your plans. Plan on being there. If you are planning on coming, we look forward to seeing you there at the conference. So anyway, this question that was asked on the podcast leads to a larger subject, not only of the relationship of the Christian to secular music, but also to the larger subject of the relationship of the church to anything that is secular, not just music. And it begs for a discussion of the entire implications of what we might call secularity in general. How does one answer these questions? And the first thing would be that one must go backward, I think, to the more general before we can move forward to the more specific, which in this case was about music. So the question was originally, is it okay for apostolics to listen to secular music? Now, my immediate impulse before ever hearing the answer was, I want to hear this. Why does this pique my interest to the degree that it does? And I realized that it was, as I mentioned earlier, because the question is not merely about music. For when one says, is secular anything, you name the subject, fill in the blank. Is secular anything acceptable for apostolic Christians? And so this question opens a door to very broad questions, and one begins to realize for the Christian, cherry-picking particular secular subjects never ends up to be merely about those subjects. The question was fine. However, it is unanswerable without saying things that would also apply to other things secular. And also, the question's not amenable to a short, concise answer. There is no satisfying Cliff Notes answer to such questions. So working under the time constraints, which in my opinion, probably there were time constraints on the particular podcast. I don't know that. I'm assuming that. That would have made it more difficult to give a complete answer. And the basic conclusion on the podcast answer was that, yes, it is okay to listen to secular music, but with constraints. So I also have no doubt that the question was sincerely posed on the part of the moderator. Think of the question. Now, just go along with me here. Think of the questioner as standing in a room, and across the room, there's a bed. See now, as the questioner takes the question across the room and lays it on the bed. Now, the one answering the question steps forward carrying the answer and attempts to lay the answer over the question on the bed. But soon it becomes apparent that the answer is bigger than the bed. So we simply cannot snug the answer down enough to fit the bed. No matter how much we compress the answer, it's still far too big for the bed of the original question. Now, think one more time. Now there is a big door on the other side of the bed, and there's a big doorway which opens up. This door exposes the viewer to a world very, very much connected to the question of music and secularity, but it also opens to far broader questions than merely music. And so a more ultimate version of the question that was asked, specifically about music, but a broader version of that question could be, what is the biblical view of secularity in general, or any and all things secular in our present secular world? So it makes sense that the questioner was probably looking for more of a, he probably tried to frame the question in a way that it could be a answer that would fit within the constraints of the time constraints of the podcast, which is more of a soundbite answer. But maybe without knowing it, he has stepped into a question which must be moved to a big room discussion. And that's not all bad. It's almost always true that sociological questions which have theological connotations pretty much evade 5-minute soundbite answers. The big questions which arise out of this question have broad application to many other things secular. And in answering these bigger questions, the answer to the original question is that it folds into the answering of the bigger questions. Hope that makes sense. So what are some of these bigger questions? Well, there are questions like, what does the Bible teach about the relationship of a Christian to the secular world in general, in which he or she lives? That's a challenging question. Or maybe here's another version. What does the Bible have to say about the world in which a child of God lives presently? What does the Bible say about that? How does the Bible describe that world that we live in presently? What is the Bible's interpretation, definition, explanation of the world in which we live presently? These questions become more basic, like here's even a more basic question. How does the Bible even define the present world in which we live? To answer the original question, these questions and their answers inform the more specific question. Before talking about music, one must talk about secular. So what do we do with the definition of secular, which generally means, I just picked up a random dictionary and I just looked up the word secular, and it generally means of this world. It also means non-religious. It also means non-spiritual. It also means unsacred or common to this world. It also uses the word worldly. It also uses the phrase temporal as opposed to eternal. So all of these different phrases are used to describe the word secular. So just looking at this makes us realize that we have run into a rather large discussion that probably cannot be shoehorned into a single podcast. On a broader scale, the question may be posed, is it biblical for Christians to be entertained by things worldly? Maybe that is a valid question. Someone has said that one cannot take dominion over that which deeply entertains them. Think about that. One cannot take dominion over that which deeply entertains them. So is that true? What do you think about that? Also, something to ponder would be this. Enjoying music includes surrendering to the mood that the music creates. So if secular means things common and unholy, how do we get our arms around that? Not making any conclusions here. I'm just bringing up a whole lot of questions that lurk behind what seemed to be a very simple question. And then you might ask, is the only definition of unholy things, is the only definition that they are wicked, evil, ungodly, and so forth? Or is secularity have some other definitions? So as we can all see, it's amazing how the answer to a simple question blows up much, much more than music, which is only one facet of many and diverse encounters with the secular which we encounter in living in the world in which we live. So perhaps an important starting point here is the formulation of answers to questions about the Christian's relationship to things secular should always start theologically with the big questions. Rather than the question of what is the relationship of the Christian to the music of the world, perhaps the first question might rather be, what is the Bible's view of the present world? I mean, we're going back now. What? So if we're talking about the secular being of the world, and what is the Bible's view of the world, that would inform, at least to some degree, what our answer would be about this question. And if something is of this world, then what does the Bible have to say about this world? Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff. Then there's question number two. What does the Bible say about the general posture and relationship of the Christian to this world? Here might be another question that you could ask. How does the Bible view the individual believer in the world? Only when we get this do we then go to the question of what is found about music specifically in Scripture. In the podcast, they didn't talk about that part, at least very, very little, because I'm sure because of limited time. But what does the Bible say about music? And what does the Bible exemplify about music? Music is a big subject in the Bible. It's not small. So what is the Bible's view of this present world? Well, our time is up. We'll start there next week. Don't miss it. Tell your friends. And if you have any comments, you're welcome to make comments. You're welcome to so forth. I personally, this is not an excuse, but I personally am not the first one that reads responses. Somebody else reads them, and then they get them to me. But we are interested, and we want to be helpful, and at the same time, maybe bring more light about things that in our busy days, we may not have time to ferret out, and maybe we can do that here and learn a little more. So don't miss it. Be with us next week.